But Ephesians 2:10 says this, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. At the age of 6, I began acting and singing and dancing and being on stage. I fell in love. At the age of 12, I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. A week later, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I fell in love again. And my poor mom was constantly running me either to church, to youth group, to choir practice, to a rehearsal, back to church, to drum and bugle corps. If it was performance-based, I did it. If it was church, I was there. And I had 4 amazing, wonderful years that I spent in that church. I loved theater, I loved my church, and I loved my God in that order. But I didn't quite fit in. I was loved, but I didn't fit into the Christian box. No dress that I put on, no haircut that I had that day helped me to fit in. I just didn't fit the Christian box in the 80s. Even though God's unshakable power developed me in the performing arts, it wasn't fully appreciated in the church at that time. I didn't fit in. And in fact, some folks in my church were actually afraid of theater and what I could do with it. And at the age of 16, I was told that I was not pleasing God by doing theater outside of the church, and so I needed to stop doing theater or leave the church. And so I left for 17 years. I walked away from God, I walked away from church, and I was angry. I was angry at a God who would have gifted me so and then called me displeasing. My life is a bit of a cautionary tale. First caution is be careful what you speak into people's lives and how you speak it. Words are powerful things. They have the power to heal or hurt. They have the power to crush, kill, destroy, or encourage, build up, and give life. Always speak out of God's love and his wisdom, not your own fear. Caution number 2, learn how to listen well. The men who told me that I was not pleasing God were trying to tell me I was on a dangerous path, that they were afraid for me. Now, none of them were artists. They didn't understand my artist heart. And so when I heard them say, stop doing theater, it was like saying, Brenda, please stop breathing. See, I couldn't imagine my life without the creative process in it. They didn't know that. But they were not wrong. Had I listened, I would have heard them say, outside the church. In other words, hone your skill set for Jesus first. But I couldn't hear them. I wasn't listening. Caution number 3, put things in the right priority. If God is not first, you will never be unshakable. God has to be first. Everything else follows. Remember, I said I loved theater, I loved my church, and I loved God in that order. And that order was backwards, all backwards. God was last on the list, not first. The church was somewhere in the middle, which meant I loved people more than I loved God. Theater was number one. What? You know, church, we have some trouble with this one. Because we are family oriented. We love our kids. We love, and this society tells us we need to pour everything we've got into our kids. And we've got to, and that's not wrong. But you have to put God first. Your children do not come before God. Your spouses do not come before God. Your friends, your family, your jobs, nothing comes before God. Everything falls in line when you put Him first. Your life falls in line when you put Him first. If you don't put Him first, you will never be unshakable. You will get easily distracted, and you'll be able to easily be pulled off of your moorings. And you will end up doing things that you never, never expected you would do. I spent 16 years going, I will never drink. I will never do drugs. I am a good girl. I love Jesus. God is good. I'm high on Jesus. 2 months after I left church, I was drinking and doing drugs. 2 months after I rented a God-sized hole in my heart because I was not listening and He was not first, I was filling up that God-sized hole with the only thing this world has to fill it. And it doesn't work. All because I had my priorities backwards. Life kept moving, as it does. And I got my degree in theater and television production from Emerson College. I moved to Hollywood, and I worked in film and television out there. And then the 94 earthquake happened, and I thought, oh, the place is falling into the ocean. I'm going to move back east. So I moved back east, and I became a professional stage manager in theater companies all over the East Coast. I kept moving forward, but my heart was a very dark place. You know, I no longer hugged people. I stopped that practice when I was 16 years old and I left God. I didn't clock that really until I started putting this sermon together. 17 years, I didn't let anyone touch me. I didn't trust anyone. And I was angry and joy-free. But I loved my work. Unfortunately, it was all I had. You know, I went through life for years like that. And along the way, God had me bump into a few Christian artists, which frankly I didn't think existed. But He kept on having me bump into these Christian artists. And every time I would bump into another one, my heart would get a little bit softer and a little bit softer. And He was wooing me back to Himself. And finally in 2002, it happened. I met a man. It wasn't Jesus. His name was actually Stephen. And he asked me out on a date. I was the production stage manager at Shakespeare and Company at the time up in Lenox, Massachusetts. It was not my practice to date actors because they're crazy. And so he was really cute, and I decided I would say yes this time. I don't know what possessed me other than he was really cute. And I said, sure, okay, whatever. And he said, great. And I said, well, where are you going to take me? And he said, you know, I'm going to take you to church. Well, that was my face. Like eyes wide. And I started laughing. And I don't mean like the little girl, hee, so cute. No, I mean like the belly laugh. Like this, God is tricky. Right? And I said, and he said, why are you laughing? And I said, well, my brother's a pastor, and he's been praying me back to Christ for the last 17 years, so he's going to love this. And So I said, well, what church are you going to bring me to? He said, oh, there's a little Methodist church up the road a piece that I wanted to try. I said, oh, the Pancake Church. And he said, the what? And I said, the Pancake Church. Every fourth Sunday of the month, the church serves pancakes to the community. They're wonderful. What's not to like? Free pancakes. I had gone several times. And so he said, yeah, okay, let's go to the Pancake Church. Whatever. So I went to the Pancake Church on my first date with Stephen. And we sat there, and it was a liturgical service. You know, three hymns, a couple words, a lay leader announcement, and then 5 minutes of preaching, and wham, bam, we're done. The second song was Amazing Grace. And we started singing it. And I started to cry. And then I started to weep and wail. And then I ran to the altar and I kneeled down and I threw myself at Jesus Christ and I said, take me back. And I just started giving everything up to him in that moment. And I mean, it was like an ugly cry, you know, like snot coming out of your nose, ugly cry. And I looked up at the pastor who was looking down at me. And again, it's a liturgical Methodist service. They don't do altar calls there. And he's all dressed in his robes and everything with his little banners on either side. And he looked at me and he's like, altars are open. And people came. Praise God indeed. I was not the only one in that little Methodist pancake church that needed a touch from God that day. I began praying that day and every day for a year, God, whatever you need to do, do it. Fix me. Remold me, remake me, reshape me into who you want me to be. Not what I've become, but who you created me to be. And God brought me to a couple of places in Scripture. The first was Ephesians 2:10, which I've shared with you. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. And the second is Romans 12:4 through 11. Just as there are many parts to our bodies, so it is with Christ's body. We are all a part of it. And it takes each one of us to make it complete. For we have different work to do. So we belong to each other, and each needs all the others. God has given each of us an ability to do certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, then prophesy whenever you can, as often as your faith is strong enough to receive a message from God. If your gift is that of serving others, serve them well. If your gift is teaching, do a good job of teaching. If you are a preacher, see to it that your sermons are strong and helpful. If God has given you money, be generous in the helping of others with it. If God has given you administrative ability and put you in charge of the work of others, take that responsibility seriously. Those who offer comfort to the sorrowing, do so with Christian cheer. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Stand on the side of good. Love each other with brotherly affection and take delight honoring each other. Never be lazy in your work, but serve the Lord enthusiastically. My job is to discover what God created me for. Your job is the same. Finding our gifts, our talents, and our abilities is the easy part. So don't get stuck there. Pray. Seek God. Then look at yourself and those things that come easily to you, those things that you have been able to do all of your life. God placed those things inside of you. He gifted you before you were born so that you could walk in those gifts. Now, you may have to hone them. You may have to work on them a little bit. I went to college to hone some of my craft. But when it's something that is innate in your being, something that you do and it comes easily to you, honing that skill is not work. In fact, it's a pleasure. In fact, you want to know as much as you want, can know about that skill set. You know, you wake up every day when you are working in your gifting and walking in your gifting and serving the Lord in your talents and abilities. You wake up every day going, I cannot believe I get to do this today. This is an amazing day. Now, you might have a bad one every now and then, but you still wake up with a skip in your step. The problem with some of the body of Christ is we've decided our job is something outside of our skill set. And so, and we've all seen them. The body of Christ walks around like this. Ooh, it's really heavy. Okay, just, yeah, pile it on. It's all good. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I'm sorry. I'll be there in a minute. Yeah, okay. We've all done it a time or two. And we call ourselves a gap filler or whatever. You can be a gap filler. But when the person comes along who's supposed to be in that place, that seat on the bus, get out of the gap and go serve in your talents and abilities joyfully. And when you are a gap filler, this is a little side note, put a smile on your face. Because Jesus is asking you to be a gap filler for a moment. Serve the Lord enthusiastically. You won't be there for the rest of your life. Worry not about that. Just serve the Lord with joy. I discovered that God gifted me to developed me to be a unique contributor to the body of Christ and building his kingdom using theater and the creative arts. Those gifts do and always have pleased him. He made me. And further, he gave me these gifts to use for his glory. What freedom there is in this. What joy there is in this. There is no such thing as a cookie cutter Christian. I do not fit in anybody else's box. And I wasn't made to. Hallelujah. You don't look like me. I don't look like you. You can't do what I can do. I can't do what you can do. And that's the way God created us. The eye is not the ear. The hand is not the foot. But we need all of those pieces, parts to function well and properly. Freedom. You are gifted. You're needed. And you have a job to do for Jesus. And the glorious thing about this is there's no age limit. You do not have to be 18 years old to serve Jesus. You do not have to be 30 to 35 to serve Jesus well. You don't have to be any age. Whatever age you are, it's age free. You are never too young nor too old to serve your purpose. Because why? He gifted you before you were born. I have worked with some 4-year-old evangelists who have actually saved their entire family. They came to VPS, found Jesus Christ, laid their life down, and brought their dads and moms to the same altar that week. 4-year-old evangelist, right there. Woo! Come on. You're not just anything. There's a pervasive attitude in the body of Christ, in America, in Amsterdam, everywhere. Oh, you know, if I'm not needed, I'm just handing out bags at the outreach. It's not a big deal. If you're not there, the bags don't get handed out. I just clean the toilets at the church. It's not a big deal. It'll be fine. No, no, it won't. Anybody who's been in an unclean toilet knows what I'm talking about. You are important. The work that he has given you to do is important. And so do yourself a favor. Take the word just out of your vocabulary. Get rid of it. Because we are not just anything. We are all children of the Most High God who was and is to come. He created us for a purpose. On purpose. Amen? He made us. He knows us. He loves us. He made a way for us. And he now has work for us to do. Your trunk or treat is coming up. Oh, man, what a joy-filled event this is going to be. Shine the love and light of Jesus Christ right out of your trunks. How easy is that? It's amazing that you have this opportunity in your community. Life moved on from that altar. And for a year, I prayed the remake me, remold me prayer. And at the end of that year, I lost my job. I lost my house. I lost my dog, and my boyfriend left me. I was a country song, y'all. It didn't happen in a huge span of time. It was 2 weeks. Gone like that. But you know, I knew God was up to something. I knew it because I had total peace, regardless of the storm that was raging around me, threatening to pull me under. And you know, you have to know God is in the midst of doing something mighty in your life when every good thing that you think you've got going on starts getting pulled away from you. And I'll tell you why. Because he does not want what's good for you. He wants what's best for you. And he will take away those good things that are getting in the way of his best. Now, I had not one sweet clue what he was doing. I didn't know where I was going to go, what I was going to do, or how I was going to pay my bills. But I served Jehovah Jireh, my provider. And I knew his grace was sufficient. 6 years went by. Change can take some time. Amen. I went from stage managing professionally to bus driving. I was directing all of the creative arts ministry at my church. I was also the church administrator. I was also the after-school drama director. And then God asked me to take classes to become a pastor. Now, I don't know what made him think I could do this thing called pastoring. I lack compassion. Seriously, like, I took one of those personality tests, and my compassion points are in the toilet. And so I fought with God about it for months, and he was like, you know, the Holy Spirit came up to me, and he was like, just do it. I said, but you know, just do it. I don't really know. I don't think I can do it. You know, I'm not good at school. Just do it, Brenda. But I'm really bad at school. I'm going to fail. Just do it. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is gentle with me, and then sometimes he comes upside me, my head, with a frying pan. So I followed his lead, and I went to school, and I became a pastor as well. And in 2009, I was sitting where you sit now, in a church, listening to a missionary. And she said, before I preach today, I'm going to put out a call. See, the Lord has given me a vision of a family-style theater for the Netherlands to reach the lost for Christ. The only problem is I don't know anything about theater. So I need someone to come alongside me for a few years to help make this thing happen. The only caveat is you must know something about theater. Hello. It was my Esther moment. I had never had God read my mail that way. I was sitting in that church service going, what? For such a time as this, I had been raised up. All of those years of feeling like I just didn't fit in. Like my gifts and talents and abilities were only useful to the body of Christ at Christmas and Easter came to an end in that moment for such a time as this. I emailed her and we met for 5 hours. And at the end of 5 hours, I said, so what do you think? And she said, I think you should come. And I said, okay. And a year later, I was on the field as her missionary associate. And I stand here today as a fully appointed career missionary headed back to the Netherlands. I'm the artistic director of Stage Life Theater Company, building a bridge to the lost using theater in the Netherlands. But that is just the beginning. See, God is opening up the vision a bit. He's widening the range. Why? Because he desires that none should perish. And so, it's now our goal to take this theater company international. We'll bring his life to the stage and the stage to life for the people of Europe. Wherever there is an artist community in need of a place to serve Christ and the lost exist, we're going to plant a Stage Life Theater Company. What I've learned today and what I give you as a gift is this. You need to look at your life and ask, how has his unshakable power developed you? Realize that what he created you for is unshakable. It won't change, and it cannot be shaken off. You don't get older and become someone else. You do get older, sorry, but you become more and more and more of who God created you to be in the first place. Your greatest act of worship is you being who he created you to be. And my final point is this. We all have a job to do. Romans 12 tells us this, and Ephesians 2:10 encourages us to this. You're uniquely created, each and every one of you, to help build the kingdom and bring glory to our very good God. God has already gifted you and given you a way to do that. And now it's time to step out of the boat in unshakable faith and do those things that he would have you do. So I gave some of you a gift during the video. And now I'm going to give you 3 options of what you can do with that gift. And then 15 seconds to walk it out. Option number 1. You can hide it, save it for later. Option number 2. You can eat it. And I mean all 4 pieces in the 15 seconds I give you. Good luck. Or 3. You can share it. Hide it, eat it, share it. 15 seconds, go. Five, four, three, two, one. Time is up. Now, what if I told you that that gift that you were just given was your gift of salvation? What did you do with it? Did you hide it and keep it for later? Did you eat it and keep it all for yourself? Or did you share it? See, we are all missionaries in this room. We have all been given a great commission to go and make disciples. Now, I'm called out to other countries. You may be called right here to this region. People in this region need Jesus. There isn't one of you in this room who does not know an unbeliever. Not one of us is surrounded only by Christians all the time. God put them in your life for a reason. Seek, save the lost. It's our job. It's not our right to hold on to this gift. It's our responsibility to share it. And we keep waiting for later, thinking there's going to be a better day where you're going to feel more comfortable sharing your faith with somebody. Let me tell you just a brief story. In the last month, I have buried two very good friends. They were 30 and 33 years old, respectively. They OD'd on heroin. They were bright, brilliant people, talented like none I have ever seen. They were working hard. My friend Christine had been clean for 3 years, had two babies. She was so happy. And then something happened and pulled her off the tracks. My friend Paul, brilliant musician, fantastic actor. So talented. But no hope. I had an opportunity to share with them. It's not my job to save people, to change their minds. I'm not a lawyer. It's my job to make sure they hear the message. What they do with it is their responsibility. So stop taking their responsibility on, because that holds us back from sharing the message in the first place. We're so concerned about what they're going to do with it that we don't do anything with our own message. Now, these two wonderful people, I can't honestly tell you whether they've gone to a lost eternity or whether they're in heaven right now. Nobody can tell you that. You don't know what their last moments held. But I know they had heard the message. And that, thank God. Thank God. And now God is giving me a divine opportunity with their families that I never would have had otherwise. And I'm ministering to their families. It is not comfortable. It is not easy. But what does Romans 12 say? Those who offer comfort to the sorrowing do so with Christian cheer. Okay? And so I bring joy into the midst of sorrow. That's our job. I'm not the only missionary in the room. We all have a mission directly from Jesus. And you are his equipped and gifted hands and feet right here, right now. Now go and fulfill your mission with your God-given talents and ability. and then help others to do the same. This church, in a year's time, if we all took that cross up, will be filled. It would be amazing. And so guess what I'm going to pray for all of you? Bam. That you would share the gospel with people in this region. Not so that your pews are filled, but so that people will have hope instead of hopelessness, joy instead of sorrow, salvation instead of death. God's unshakable power shapes you for good works prior to your entrance on this earth. So God is at work in your life right here, right now, this very moment. What is he doing? Discover it like I did at that little Methodist altar. The altars here are open. Come, pray, seek. The harvest is plentiful and the workers are few, and we need you. Thank you for having me in. And for those of you who need to leave right now, I'm going to close us in prayer. And I know that you want to do something else in between. So, worship team, you can come on up. I'm going to close out the sermon in prayer. And after Pastor Shabilo is done, you're free to go, or you're free to come up and seek. Father God, thank you so much for this day and for this ability that you have given all of us to serve you. Father, I pray right now that you would open the hearts and minds and lives and spirits of the people here in Norwich and the people here at this church, Father God, and that you would ignite a passion inside of them like they've never had before. Father God, I ask, Father God, that you would make this church a beacon of hope. Shine your light through these people, through this ministry here, Father God, so that people here in Connecticut would come to know you as their Lord and Savior, Father God, and as followers of Christ, fully developed followers of Christ, Father God. Build your church right here, Father God. In your name we pray. Amen.